Our scripture reading today is from Psalm chapter 19. We'll be looking today at Ecclesiastes 3 for our preaching text, which covers a lot on the different seasons of life and things we go through. And Psalm 19 is a good reminder of the passing of time and that the Lord is good in the midst of all of it. So Psalm 19, to the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which goes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Turn your books to number 64, Like a River Glorious.
Trust him wholly, find him wholly.
we have a prayer time and praise time. If you have a praise or prayer requests, now's the time. Yes, she has lots of hair. And her name?
Eleanor Rose.
Other requests or praises? Others? How's Ed doing? Okay. Let's go beat the end.
Made it home late Friday night from the hospital. We had a little setback last night into this morning, but everything is good.
Okay.
Pray that him won't work too hard. He needs to relax.
I told her I'd come and strap him in so he can't go anywhere. He has a tendency not to want to quit. And so it's hard to get him to stop like he's supposed to. I don't know any men that are that way at all. How about Ed Strine? He's doing okay? Still getting around? Okay. Any other requests or praises? It's another beautiful day outside. Good time to praise the Lord tonight, so remember that, plus you get to eat all the corn you want. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, most of all we're grateful that you have brought us into your family, that you are our life. Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize that you are the center of everything, and we are yours, and we were created for you. Help us, Lord, to keep that in mind and keep you in focus, that all that we do, we strive to do in a way that would bring glory and honor to you. We're grateful to come together and be able to do that, to worship you and to hear the teaching of your word and to grow because you are working in us through your spirit. We're grateful to enjoy the fellowship of one another, and we look forward to this day as we have that fellowship now and even this evening. Lord, we're grateful that you've made us healthy and given us a safe place to do this, to worship together. We're thankful for many things that if we continued the list, we would have no time to do anything else but thank you and praise you. We thank you for the way you've worked in lives. We think of Walt and his heart surgery and how well that went. And yet, Lord, you know he's struggling with his need to sleep, and we pray that you'd work on that and help him to successfully start sleeping at night again. And Lord, we thank you for how well everything else has gone. I think of Eleanor Rose. What a praise to have a child born into the world and to be able to rejoice in that, the blessings that you bring as you bring children into our lives. We're grateful for that, and we pray that you'll help her parents to be able to raise her to love you as they love you. Lord, I'm thankful for the Brocades being able to be together, to be there for their mom's passing. Lord, it's a hard thing to go through. None of us desire to go through that experience, and yet it is part of life. The rejoicing part is that she's already at home with you and rejoicing and being able to see you face to face. We pray that you'd continue to be with that family and give them strength and comfort through all of this. We thank you for the work in Carter. We know that he got a virus when he had this work done on him, and that work went fine. The virus caused problems, and yet you brought him through that, and we pray that you'd continue to give us updates that are positive and are full of joy because of what you're doing in his life. Lord, for Ed Tanner, we pray that you'd give him patience and ability to wait on the right time to be able to do things. Give him time to heal. Help him to behave in that way. We thank you for him as a brother and pray that you'd continue to take care of that infection, that he might be free from it. Think of Ed Strine and all he's going through as he still has that tumor in his brain, and we know that he's going through chemo and other things. Lord, we just pray that you would give him strength and comfort, and that people would be able to encourage him and be a part of his life. We're just grateful for all that you do. There's so many things we could come and still pray for. But Lord, we're just grateful and want to lift up our praise to you as we sing songs together, as we hear the word. Might we truly give our lives to you and desire to live with our focus on your Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll praise you in his name. Amen. Okay, we'll stand and sing our worship songs. The first one, How Great Is Our God. Thank you.
Your very body
Jesus Christ. We know the freedom we have. We know that he died for our sins. We know that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who love you. We praise you that we can stand before you and sing praises and know that you're in our presence because you love us. Thank you for bringing us into that relationship. Help us to love you with all our hearts and to live for you. Help us as we listen to your word today. Teach us. Help us to grow to know you better. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
We continue our study in Ecclesiastes today, and picking up where Josh left off, we're going to be in chapter 3, and these, I'm going to look at the first 8 verses, and you're probably familiar with these verses, in part because there was a singing group back in the day that put this to music, essentially. And that was stuck in my head all week long, which in some ways was good because it was reminding me of what the scripture was, but also I'd heard enough of that tune after a while, but it was still in there. This is something that even people who don't read the scriptures, don't know the word, have still heard this, right? Because it's been made popular. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can gather and learn from your word and help us to recognize the different seasons of life and to appreciate them when we are in them and to seek to honor you through the difficult times and praise you through all of it and seek your glory no matter where we are in life. Amen. So, let's read. I'm going to read verses, Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So all of life is marked by seasons, right? Life has its cycles. It tends to be repetitive. And time marches on whether we like it or not. And as you go through life, you find some seasons are short and some are long, right? Some of the common things we're familiar with, right? When you think of like, well, what seasons can I think of off the top of my head? You have your days, right? Each day, the next day you wake up, it's a new day. Weeks, months, the actual seasons, the 4 seasons of summer is ending, fall is beginning, we will be in winter, spring, and then summer again, right? The continual cycle through the seasons. And then you have year upon year. Some of you, most of us are probably just getting used to writing 2026 on our checks, and soon it'll be 2027 again. And it will repeat. You have lifetimes, right? You have this, like, the seasons of family generations, right? When both of my grandparents on my dad's side passed away, it was like the ending of an era for, like, the siblings and all the cousins, right? This was a generational impact. And going off from there, you have rise and fall of empires, right? Those who were living in the Roman Empire at its peak never saw the end coming, and yet, where is it today? It is not here. And empires throughout time have risen and they have fallen. It tends to be cyclic in nature. Right? It all points to the fact that God designed the world to work in an orderly fashion. And right, the proof is all around us. Right? You wake up in the morning to a new day. The cycle begins again. Orderliness. It is not random. You don't have to wonder what season is coming next. Hey, well, so summer's almost over. What's next? I don't know. It could be spring again. No, fall is coming. The leaves will fall from the trees. Winter will come after that. It is not random. It is ordered. Will the sun rise tomorrow? Who knows? Yes. Yes, it will. It may be cloudy, but the sun will rise. When you are young, right, kids are dealing with this right now. School has started again. When you are young, it seems the school year will never end, right? The summer takes too long to get here. And then this is what you guys are probably dealing with now is like, where did the summer go? It went by so fast. I waited so long for it, and now it's gone, and I'm back in school again. Right, when you have little babies, it seems like it takes forever before they hit that next stage of development, right? When are they going to roll over? Oh, yes, that's happening. Oh, when are they going to crawl? Walking, talking, right? You go through all those things, and then the next thing you know, they're graduating and making major decisions on their own, right? Things that feel like they are taking forever, but they fly by in an instant. All these different seasons of life. I've heard it said, and it's valid, I think, the days are long and the years are short, right? When you are in it, it seems like it is taking forever, but as you look back, you're like, wow, where did the time go? It flew by, right? Time marches on. Seasons of life come and go. And when I was younger, probably my son's age, 8, 9, 10 years old, I thought that at that time, I thought like 30 was old. I'm 43 now. 30 is like a young guy. And 43 doesn't seem that old now. And people that are, you know, my dad's in his late 70s. I'm like, he doesn't seem that old. Right? Seasons come and go. Depending on the season you're in, like things, your perspective on it changes. I was thinking through this and that's lots of small examples. I have a bigger example. My family this summer, we went to the Outer Banks. We took our big family vacation, right? And when we booked that trip, we booked it in the winter. And we went in June, and June seemed like it was a long way off, right? We're doing this trip now. It's not going to happen for months. It's a long ways away. But then before I knew it, I owed the second payment on the rental. where'd that come from? It snuck up on us. And then suddenly June was here, and then that week before vacation just seemed to take forever. Like each day the kids are asking, well, how many days until we leave for the beach? Oh, 6 days. Oh, 4 days. 3 days. Okay? And then it's packing day. And when you're packing, you're loading up the van, and you're like, this is taking forever, right? Like, we got all this stuff. It takes forever. And then you get all packed up, and it's time to leave, and now we have an 11-hour drive to get there. Seems like it never ends, right? We decide to bypass Washington, D.C., and we go on the trails that I think George Washington walked on back in the Revolutionary War, and you realize how hard men were back then, because driving it was hard at times, and yet they marched it. Like, when am I getting off this roller coaster? It goes on forever. And then you finally get there. You're at the ocean. You're at the beach. You have reached the thing that you have been anticipating. And then you say, well, how am I going to have enough time to do all the things I want to do? I have a week to do this. And then you want time to slow down, right? So as you are anticipating the thing, you're like, well, let's speed up time. I'm at where I want to be. Let's slow it down. But it doesn't work that way, right? Time continues on the same pace, day in, day out. Next thing you know, it's the middle of the week. Your trip is halfway over, and you're like, and you are like, I don't know how my wife and kids were, but I'm like, I'm seeing the end is in sight, and the trip is halfway gone, and I'm already getting like a little disappointed. I'm like, oh, end is almost here. The thing that took forever to come and forever to get there is halfway over. You can see the end in sight. You don't want to leave, and you haven't done half of the things you wanted to do, and then next thing you know, it's time to go home, right? You say to yourself, where did the week go? This thing I've anticipated for so long, it is now over. Where is it gone? It seems to have flown by, right? So in that trip, every little thing is its own season, right? As you are packing, this is a season of packing. As you're driving, you're in a season of driving, right? This is life. As you go through life, you are going through different stages, different seasons all the time. And that's what Solomon's writing about in here, all the different seasons. And when you're in it, time just continues on at the same pace. It doesn't slow down for you when you're enjoying it. It doesn't speed up when you're doing the hard things. It just continues on, right? And now that trip that we anticipated so much is now history. Right, we have pictures, we have some shells we collected, we have our memories, we have some souvenirs, but that trip is now history. The very thing we anticipated so much is now behind us. Again, you go through all these seasons of life, and you have big events, and even those events are seasonal. But Ecclesiastes 3:1 begins saying, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Right? God has made life cyclical. There are seasons for everything in life. Right? God decides what will come into existence. He decides when it will come into being. And he decides when it will end. Right? We think of the passing of Irene. Her life had a beginning, it had an end, right? This cyclic nature of life. And the thing that we take hope in, where we find our rest, is it's not a matter of chance, right? It is under the direction of God Almighty. Preparing for this, I like to look at different translations because sometimes they'll put things in different wording that can be beneficial. But the New American Standard, which I don't know how many here use that. I know of one person who uses it regular here. But the New American Standard said it in a different way than all the rest of the translations. And it said, there is an appointed time for everything. And the way that's worded, it points to the nature of God is in control of all these seasons. This season that you are in is not by happenstance. You didn't just get unlucky and fall into a bad time, or you didn't get lucky and fall into a good time, but rather this is an appointed thing from God. The time that you are in, the season that you are in, is from Him. What are you going to do with it? The first in verse 2, this first season that the author gives us, says a time to be born and a time to die. You think through this, right? You have no control over when you are born, right? You're not even aware of it. How many of you remember your birth, right? Nobody. If you do, I'd like to talk later because that'd be interesting. Right? But there is a proper time for it. You are born at the time when God appointed it. And you have no control over when you will die. Right? That happens when God determines. It is according to His will. You come into this world when He says, you leave when He says. And in the meantime, it's interesting when you're small and everybody, your parents are telling you what to do, and you spend your young years waiting to be older. So no one will tell you what to do. And then when you're old, you wish you were young again, so you didn't have so many responsibilities and everybody wasn't telling you what to do, right? These cycles of life. And as you go through them, you say, well, maybe that previous cycle wasn't so bad. That was kind of good, right? These are the cycles of life. It happens to everyone. There is no changing it. All are born, all die. It's been happening since the dawn of creation, and it will continue until the end of time. We come and we go. It is the cycle of life. The next phrase there is a time to plant and a time to harvest, or a time to pluck up what is planted is specifically what it says. Our example that we have here is grapes. And I grew up on a grape farm. My parents still have some grapes, and so I'm familiar with that. Right, and you can smell the grapes as they ripen. If you go for a walk down Side Hill now, you'll start to smell a little bit of that Concord grape. My wife always says it smells like Dimetapp. She didn't grow up around here, but for her, that Concord grape is Dimetapp. Right, my sisters live far away, and when they smell it, it smells like home. Right, that's harvest is near. Yet, if the vines have bud break, they push their buds out before the last frost of winter, then you don't have a crop to ripen in fall. You don't get to smell that delicious grape smell. Right? The time to plant. There is a time for that to happen. And if it doesn't happen appropriately, it doesn't work. And if the crop doesn't get harvested, if there's not time for it to ripen, or you get it to your fields late, if you don't get to it before the first frost of winter, it falls on the ground and it is worthless. Right? There is an appropriate time to pluck up what is planted. There are proper times to plant and to harvest. Farmers don't get to decide their own schedule. Everybody's like, oh, I want to be a farmer so I can have freedom to do whatever I want. Like, yeah, whatever. Would you like to work all the time and not know what you're going to get paid at the end of the year? Okay, great. Right? Their schedule is determined by how God directs the weather. Right? Things must be done in their proper time. It is cyclic in nature. Each year you plan what you are doing because it happens the same year after year. Maybe there's little variations, but it's the same year in, year out. It is cyclic. His next example there is a time to kill and a time to heal. I don't know exactly what Solomon was referring to with this. It could have been in regards to war or in life and death and just how we go through it. But the example that came to mind is, you know, so many of us have animals now, right? We have livestock, we have pets. Having chickens is like the big thing. I don't know how many people here do, but that's become popular. But the thing is, when you have animals, you've experienced this. There's a time to kill and there's a time to heal, right? It becomes evident that an animal will not heal from its wounds or sickness or its just old age. And you get to a point where it is a great mercy to kill the animal instead of letting it continue to suffer, right? We've experienced that. And you grow attached to the animals. It's not like you take some weird, demented pleasure in it. Like, this is the proper thing to do. It is right. It is good for them at this point. And it still hurts. And it's still hard. And most animals have a shorter lifespan than us. Right, part of the responsibility of owning an animal is that you will at some point have to deal with the death of that animal. You see this cyclic nature of life and death in another being. Right, an appropriate time to kill, an appropriate time to heal. Cycles. You have the next one is a time to break down and a time to build up. I work construction. I work for Josh, and we see this all the time, right? Most of our job is a lot of building up, a lot of repairing, a lot of restoring old structures. Right? It can be a great joy to take a house that is worn down and rotted and restore it into a functional, beautiful home again. Right? Sometimes I get so busy in it. They're like, oh, let's see some pictures of that last project. Like, I didn't take any pictures because I was so busy doing stuff, I didn't even think about it. right? But there is a time to rebuild, and there's a time to break things down. We looked at a project recently, and sort of I walked away. I'm not sure how Josh walked away, but I walked away saying, I think they should probably tear this down. I don't think this should be rebuilt, right? Sometimes there's nothing worth keeping in that structure, right? Sometimes you do not invest your money in this house, right? This would be a waste. The time has come to tear it down. It is cyclic, right? Especially with our homes around here, they're all built out of wood. You get times where it's like there's no more, there's nothing left to save, right? The number of houses that are left from the Revolutionary War gets less and less all the time because they just reach a point where there's nothing left to be saved. Says next one, verse 4, says a time to weep and a time to laugh. And it continues on, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Right? Everybody experiences the highs and lows of life. Right, we've been there. It was the joy of a new pregnancy and the pain of a premature loss. Been there. That time to weep. Right, and at the same time, you can have the birth of a new grandchild and you can have the death of a parent. Right, the proper time to weep, a proper time to laugh, times of joy, times of dancing, times of mourning. Right, again, this all pointing to life is cyclical, and it is not by happenstance. It is by design. God made it that way. The next verse there is a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There are lots of different interpretations of this, but I think the one that is nice and clear is, let's even think when they first settled this area. So I have an old house. It's probably like mid, late 1800s. It has a stone foundation in the basement. That's what that house is built on. And probably a lot of you have houses that are like that. It's an old farmhouse. They cleared the fields around the house, and they would have taken all those stones and moved them out of the way so they could farm that land. And then at some point, they cast away those stones. They set them aside. And then at some point say, we need to build a barn or we need to build a house. So we take these stones that we've cast away from the fields and we gather them together and now they become the foundation. We bring them together. They have gone from being something that is useless and giving me grief to now something that is beneficial and useful. But depending on which cycle you are in, which season you are in, it's either in your way or it's something that is good to you. The cyclical nature of it. The next phrase there is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Right? There are times in life when we strengthen the bonds of our relationships. Right? I heard a couple people here say they were at weddings this weekend. Right, this time to embrace, a time of a new relationship, a new household being formed, coming together, a time of embracing. And then there are times to refrain from embracing. Right, there becomes times in life where ties are severed with people, where sin enters into life and it's we cannot continue this relationship. Right, boundaries have to be set. The next phrase there is a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. Right? The physical things in our lives have useful lifespans and they wear out. Nothing lasts forever physically in our life. The one that we all experience here in Western New York is our vehicles. Right? That road salt that makes it so they can drive in the winter also slowly destroys our cars here. Right? I've had to cast away a few vehicles because the rust got to the point like there's nothing left to repair anything to. It's just mush. right? The time has come to cast away that vehicle. It can't be repaired anymore. Time to tear and a time to sew, right? Your clothes wear out. We have the beautiful convenience of when our clothes wear out, we just go buy some new ones, quite simply, right? You don't have to make your own clothes. You don't have to weave the fabric like they would have back then. And we don't even always repair clothes a whole lot anymore. Like, oh, there's a little tear here. Well, I'll throw that away. I'll just go get a new one, right? Repairing stuff was far more common. But I was talking with one of the guys at work this week, and he's been with us about 6 months, and he said, hey, at what point do you say, like, these work pants I have are no longer, like, I shouldn't be wearing these for work anymore because I just don't look very professional, you know? And what I said was, well, I don't really care how many stains my work pants have on them. In some ways, a customer sees you come to do construction on your house, and your pants have, like, some paint on them, some caulking, some wood glue. They're kind of dirty. I mean, you can tell I've washed them, but at the same time, they're covered in stains that are markings of the work that I do, right? I don't really disqualify my work pants based on appearance alone until they start getting holes on them, right? At some point, you're like, okay, that's a little too shabby. My knee's hanging out like this. My phone falls through the hole in the side of my pants now. Okay. We'll retire these, and I don't retire them to use them somewhere else. I retire them to the trash bin, right? It's old. It's used up. It has gone through that cycle of life. What was once new, what was once a very expensive pair of pants, are now good for nothing other than to go to the landfill, right? It has gone through its useful cycle of life. It is now used up. The next phrase is a time to keep silence and a time to speak, right? There are appropriate times to keep your mouth shut, right? There are times the best thing to do is not say anything at all. And then there are times when to not say anything would be wrong. I must speak in this moment. I have to. Good example of this is in the book of Job. Right, so in Job, when his friends first come, they don't say a word for the first 7 days that they are there. They come and they just sit in silence with him in his suffering. And the funny thing is, that was probably Job's favorite part of their visit. Because then when they started talking, they didn't have a whole lot good to say to him. But there was an appropriate time for silence. Job's suffering was so great, I'm just going to come sit with you. I don't know what to say. I'm going to just suffer with you. And then as you progress through the book of Job, God addresses Job. And God tells him, dress for action like a man. I will question you and you will make it known to me. Right? You're going to speak up, Job. You're going to explain yourself. You're saying some things and you are now going to respond. It is appropriate for you to talk. Right, that book is always a good reminder for me of who we are relative to God. As I go through hard things, I often like to go to that passage in Job where God's like, here's all these things that I am. Who are you? I'm like, okay, God, I remember who you are. It's a good reminder of who I am. Time to keep silent and a time to speak. Right, a time to love and a time to hate, right? We are to love the things that God loves and to hate the things that God hates. Right, we are to hate sin and to hate the effects of sin on people and the world around us. And we are to love God and we are to love people. Right, there are proper times for each of those things. And then lastly, there in those examples, you have a time for war and a time for peace. Right, you might say, like, well, there's never any proper time for war, right? The pacifist in you. But they've put together a whole Christian just war theory. They've sat down and thought through it, like, when is there appropriate times for war? Well, the proper time is a war of self-defense, right? There is a time when it is right to to fight for things in life, to defend yourself against aggressors. And there are times when seeking peace is the best avenue, right? There's, again, cyclic. And the nature of the world is, as you go through a timeline and let's look at all the wars throughout time. It is like almost constant. Like one war ends, another begins. One war is midway through and another starts. The nature of civilization is war just continues. Right? The fact that we've had a seemingly long stretch of peaceful time is an anomaly. But there is a time for war and there is a time for peace. It is cyclical. So this is all a reminder of the natural rhythm of life. It comes, it goes, you go from one thing into the next, you repeat one after the other, you just get older, but you're doing the same thing again. Life is cyclical. And if God is not in control of all these things, then we are living in a world of blind and pitiless indifference, right? With no meaning to joy or suffering. It's just chemicals in your brain that are responding to outside stimulus, right? No ultimate meaning. What a sad, bleak outlook on life. Right? Praise the Lord, that is not the case. Right? God is in control of all of these things. We can rest assured that there is meaning to all of life's up and downs. Right? God is working in all things for our ultimate good and for his glory. As you go through the stages of life, it is for your good. It is for his glory. And the hard part is we don't always know the reasons why. Right? Why do things happen? Do they do? Why am I going through this difficult season? But we trust that God is working out his plan through it all. We, as the believers, we should trust that God's hand is in it. He is working through it. So good reminder as we look at this with all the different seasons of life, right? Don't spend your life living for the next thing. Right? Enjoy the season that you are in. Seasons of life are from God. Therefore, they are good. Right? It's easy to spend your life looking forward to the next thing, never truly enjoying the moment you are currently living in. Right? This attitude of, when I achieve this goal, then I will be happy. The funny thing about that is usually when you achieve that goal, right, it's good when you have that achievement, but then you get bored of it, right? So then you set a new goal, right? You find out, if you sit down and think about it, like the joy is actually in the pursuit. The joy is in that moment of the season. And again, this reminder from Ecclesiastes back in chapter 2, verse 24. He said, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. And then jumping ahead a little bit in this chapter 3 in verses 12 and 13, sort of in his conclusion to his thoughts of this, he says, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than that they be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Right? As you go through the cycles of life, God has given us joyful things in the midst of different seasons. Right? He has made us to glorify him. And we do that by accepting and appreciating his perfect timing in all things. Right, we need to seek satisfaction in the moment that he has placed us in. We can't spend our whole life saying, what if? What if I had done this differently? What if this hadn't worked? No, this is where you are at. This is the season God has placed you in. Seek joy in that season. And some seasons are harder than others, and some are easier than others. How do I praise him in this? How do I give glory to him in this? Right? Time goes on with or without us. We have no control over that, right? Seasons come, seasons go, time marches on. We can only control how we react to the moment that we are in. We don't get to change the seasons. We get to change our reaction to the season that we are in. So God has ordained the season of life that you are in right now, right? There is a time that is appropriate for all of the things that are listed here. There is a time for all of this. And we take comfort knowing God is in control of it all, right? We cannot change it. We should seek to glorify him in the good and in the difficult times, right? There are lots of hard seasons listed here. It doesn't mean you get to be a miserable grump in that hard season. It means, okay, how do I glorify God in the midst of this difficulty? How do I honor him in this? And the thing that I sort of came back to as I was looking at Solomon's conclusions was he said, we are to take pleasure in all our toil. Right? Pleasure in toil, those two don't seem to go together, right? As you're in the midst of doing the hard thing, seek to, how do I find enjoyment in this? And my enjoyment may only be in knowing that God is good and I will be with him someday. But how do I seek to serve him? How do I give him glory? Right? Enjoy your time in life leading up to the next big thing. Right? Don't live in the future. Live in the present. I was thinking about my beach vacation example, right? We are to seek pleasure in the toil. Right? As I'm working in the lead up to this trip and the next payment's due. Praise God, I have work to do. I can take my family on a vacation to the ocean. I can afford to do that. There was a time in my life I was like, that's not happening. I can afford to do that. How great. What a blessing. Right? And I get to do that by serving the clients that we have, providing good things for them. Giving glory to God through the work of my hands. Right? Seek pleasure in your work. Right? Enjoy that drive, that 11-hour drive that seems like it's never going to end. How do I enjoy this? Don't just look forward to the drive being over, but how do we find joy? How do we seek to honor God in the midst of a long car ride? Right? Sort of a modern problem. Right, there's new things to see, new places to visit. Right, take pleasure in the trip, not just the destination. Right, and when you're on that, when we're on vacation, enjoy the vacation. Right, don't spend your vacation dreading that it's going to be over. I get there and I'm like, well, this will be over in 5 days, so I guess I'll just be miserable the whole time. No, enjoy it. Right, this is a cycle you are in. Enjoy the midst of the cycle. And then when it's time to leave, enjoy the drive home again. Right? Seek, as you are in the midst of the cycles and seasons of life, seek joy in those things. How do I serve the Lord best in the midst of this? How do I give him glory in this? He has designed this season for me. How do I find pleasure in it? Right, we give God the most glory when we take pleasure in the things that he has given us to do. Right, we're not to spend our days worried about what the next season holds for us. Rather, we should seek to glorify God by enjoying the season he has placed us in. Right, Christ should be our focus through all the seasons of our life. In the good times, we look to Christ. In the hard times, we look to Christ. Right, you enjoy your food, enjoy your drink, seek pleasure in the toil of the seasons of life. In this, you give glory to God. Right, and in those hard times when you don't like, I don't know, this is hard, I've never been here before, right? In difficult times, we have an obligation to do what is right and to do what is best and to not sin against those who sin against us. Like, even in those really hard seasons of life, and you're like, I don't understand what this one is. Well, God is working in it, even though it's hard, even though it is the most difficult thing you've ever done. You still have an obligation to not enter into sin yourself. You still have an obligation to do what is right according to God. You still have an obligation to seek to glorify him, even in difficult times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this reminder from Solomon of all the seasons of life that we go through, Lord. Help us to seek to honor you through good times and hard times, and to seek to enjoy the time that you have us in right now, Lord. How do we please you in that? How do we honor you? How do we glorify you? Help us to see that. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing hymn number 60, Be Still My Soul. We're just going to sing the first and third verses. On the third verse, the deacons can come and prepare for communion, the elders. Be Still My Soul, number 60. Just a reminder of what
Christ went through, and it was not for him, it was for us. To make it possible for us to have a relationship with him and to make him center of our life. In Matthew 26, he says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Then he reminds us, "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." As we partake, we think of the broken body of Christ, which was bruised for our sake, broken with his blood shed for us. Gracious Father, we're grateful for this time to remember, to bring our thoughts back to what you did for us, that we might have a very personal relationship with you, in which we really know of your love and understand the cost and understand how much you care for us and how much we are your people. So as we partake today, Lord, help us to do it in a spirit of loving you and knowing you and how precious it is that you've done this for us, and we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight have been a rough one for Christ with all those disciples there, and he knew he was soon to die. But he was letting them know he had taken care of them, and this relationship would be forever. So he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Gracious Father, it's not just that your body was broken, but that you carried our sin, all of it on the cross with you. time when your father could not even look upon you for your sin that you were carrying, and it was ours, not yours. And then you died, and in the dying you shed your blood, that you might cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you that in our relationship with you, we are not condemned, not because we are perfect or sinless, but because you paid the price. Thank you for that, and we want to praise you and drink to you and praise to you. Saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink it all. They sang after that. We're just going to stand and sing, "Thank you, Lord."
Hey.